Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to a Monday morning in the great city of Atlanta. My name is Steak. This is The Steakhouse. It's the fastest 2 hours in radio. Sandra Golden, a rare Monday appearance. Great to have you here.
Thank you so much.
Not exactly sure about who's here when. I know you told me, but I try not to listen. You start confusing me. You're here Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. Or as they say in Godfather, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Wednesday,
Friday. It doesn't matter. You're here. That's what the folks are listening in for. And then, like, whatever your little side piece is of the day is good. So today I'm your little side piece. Yeah. Drew will be back Wednesday. I think he had a golf tournament today. So I switched with him. No problem. I'll be here Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. Rusty here Friday.
Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, typical Rusty on Friday, and we get a Drew Butler rare midweek.
Hump day!
Midweek appearance. So yes. Thanks for spending some time with us on the number one rated sports talk radio show and station in the city. And get on the Odyssey app. I know my mom is on there for sure. Your mom as well. So many other folks. The numbers speak for themselves in terms of how well we're doing, having folks kind of rethink how they listen to, we won't even say the radio, make their audio choices. It's all about content and audio choices. So what content did you take in this weekend? What was...
Ooh, I was in Daphne, Alabama for a beautiful graduation. I know you did all graduation too, so yeah.
Yeah, it was
my podcast choices were...
Yeah, I was going to say.
Two back-to-back of the Kelsey brothers in the Heights.
My sister-in-law, KK... Kate Zimmer, that's her number one podcast.
Oh, yeah?
Number one. Who's been the best guest in the last 4 to 6 weeks on a podcast like that?
Scott Van Pelt. Not close. He was very, very sharp and funny and, yeah. It's just good every week until they start really talking about football. They, like, really talk a lot.
Oh, really?
I like the nonsense part of it, but, yeah. Highly recommend it. You would love it. It's nonsense.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I'm trying to think of, I'm overwhelmed with choice. I'm watching the John Hamm TV show, all weekend long.
The greatest show.
Yeah. No, it's very entertaining. It's a little dark though. It's kind of, it's a depressing show.
It's a sexy, mysterious.
Hang on. You want to talk about sexy? Is it Olivia
John
Munn?
John Hamm.
Olivia Munn.
John Hamm.
Olivia Munn.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
She is. So John, you like Hamm, everything though, about John Hamm.
Listen, can I tell you, all the girls at this party, we were sitting around talking about John Hamm is the ultimate man. Like, he's just good looking enough. He's got a sense of humor. He's supposed to have a sick personality.
Yeah. I heard he's, somebody was telling me that he was in high school. Whatever, we're not going to sit here and talk too much about it. He can be a little bit of a jerk. In high school, I heard, but he was probably the best looking guy his whole life.
Let me guess, he's coming out of high school talking crap about John Hamm.
They said John Hamm was a tough guy. He was a bully.
Go back to.
They said he was a bully.
He's not. He's nice. He's super nice in my dreams. In my dreams, he's really
sweet. So we're watching that show.
So good.
I'm trying to watch some Severance with Sophie. I don't understand. I'm not smart enough.
Larry started Mobland, and that's it. Like, it's his all time favorite show. He's so excited.
Yeah. It's like it is a plethora of content. But anyways, we'll get into that later on, maybe.
Sorry.
Things I learned, because I had a piece of content that went viral. Like, not just saying it, I'll tell you later, the most consumed piece of content, I don't know, other than maybe me and the New York Post for me and Stetson Bennett, which was, you know, crazy.
That was big.
It was over a million views on that when he wrote me a nice little letter. And then, what was the other? Oh, I don't know. Stuff back in the day with John Rocker that was all over the national media. And some other things we'd rather not talk about. So it was a busy weekend. Family's in town. My brother's in town. My mom's in town.
Valya's still here? Everybody's still here?
Yeah, my mom's here for weeks.
Yay.
But we had graduation over at Pace Academy, which was really the thrill of a lifetime. The coup at Pace Academy, they do not tell you who the commencement speaker is.
So that's like awesome.
1 year, Robert Downey Jr. was filming in Buckhead, and he needed to use, that's what it was, he needed to use the Pace Academy ball field to fly a helicopter in, so when he didn't have to fight through traffic or something like that, so that it's like, can we have access to that pad for Robert Downey Jr. while I was filming the Avengers? Okay,
that's
you
right.
with me?
Yep.
And
he rented a house two doors down from my friend.
So
yeah.
the headmaster, Fred Asaf, said, that's fine, but you're our 2017 commencement speaker.
Perfect.
And to say the kids lost their mind when Robert Downey Jr. came out and spoke, Matt Ryan's done it before. We had Andy Young speak at the commencement. Comes out in his wheelchair at 93 years old. Comes from behind a curtain.
Wow.
Nobody knew who it was going to be.
Oh, wow.
That's powerful.
Inspirational. That's awesome. Yeah.
My family was blown away that that could happen, so mm-hmm. that was amazing. But the whole weekend was about final parties, and my daughter had her final recital after 5-6 years of 4 hours a day and countless travel and recitals. And last night, Sunday night, we had that. So a lot of tears, a lot of emotions. And now, you know, like, this is the season. You see it all over. You want to talk about how much you love Facebook used for the right reasons, right?
Mm.
You're seeing that everywhere over the last week or so, haven't you?
So many smiles, my goodness.
Yeah, or tears when they're, you know, off and on their own. But anyway.
You gave your daughter strong wings, so when she flies away, she's going to soar. Like, yeah. that's why you have children and
I gave my daughter strong wings so mm-hmm. she would soar to New Orleans.
Perfect.
So I had a good
visit.
Place to go visit. That was the key.
Listen, good for you.
I coached her. If you're going to go anywhere, go where daddy's going to want to travel
perfect.
To. And that
Listen,
is
Listen, you got
Orleans.
A lot to be proud of your kids. And
well,
Sophie's off to Spain to
she's
just
off to
party.
Barcelona. Well, no, she's studying.
Same thing.
She's studying.
Y'all say it different.
Yeah, studying. That's all. Yeah. Let's do our 9 at 9.
Wiley Ballard, star of the Braves broadcast, in my opinion. He'll be live at 10 o'clock with us. We're excited for that. Braves rally yesterday, 10-4, beat the heck out of the Red Sox, end up taking 2 of 3 up in Boston.
Yeah, that's a great series. A lot of drama. You know, obviously you didn't want to lose the way you did on Saturday. We blow the 5-0 lead. But you got Chris Sale in the big win on Friday night. Yesterday, you give up the grand slam to Rafael Devers. Look like the Red Sox were getting themselves on a run. They were down 3-0. Devers comes up after hitting the game winner the night before. And then you just go to work, man. You just go to work offensively. An outstanding offensive weekend for the Braves. You turn around. You look up. You're 24-23. 47 games in with the likes of Nick Allen and Eli White and Grant Holmes and insert you know, other guys that you didn't think would be up there. No more Jared Kelnick. He's not around. Jerkson Profar out for the year. Spencer Strider has a setback. Acuna being very cautious. And you turn around, and the Braves are right where they need to be, which, as I said, once you get over 500, you can talk about everything. Until you get there,
right.
And now you're there.
And here's what you need to know, Braves fans. First day off today and 16 outings. 16 straight games are off today. Spencer Strider will pitch tomorrow night, game one in Washington. And the Padres come here Friday for Memorial Day weekend, and it looks like Ronald Acuna will be up on Friday from everything we're hearing.
Just a lot of good signs. Acuna's starting to stroke big time. Austin Riley in the middle of a bunch of rallies. Matt Olson in the middle of a bunch of
Matt
rallies.
Matt Olson, thank you very much. Right, he brought his batting average up 30 points, I believe, since Friday. So, like you said, let's just peak right about it all said
well,
and done.
Well, I don't even care if we're peaking now. I just care about now, you know, just play consistent. You know what the rule is? Win 2 out of 3 every series. Just keep winning 2 out of 3. And they're going to need more than that to win a division. But my point is, this is surviving a rough 47-game stretch that started
You're being kind.
At 0-7.
Yeah, rough is being kind.
Yeah, and
You're
I'm not just talking
right.
about the start of the record. I'm talking about the injuries. I'm talking about the drama behind the scenes. I'm talking about, you know, the Ronald Acuna tweet and the Jerkson Kofar suspension and Spencer Strider injury and Chris Sale kind of laboring through a few starts and not. I mean, you look up, and the Atlanta Braves are beat, and that's the difference with a winning organization. You always have faith that they will figure it out, and so far, let's give credit for Brian Snicker and company for that.
Thanks for playing, Nuggets. The Thunder roll on to the Western Conference Final. A beatdown, 32-point beatdown, 125-93 is your final. SGA had 35.
Yeah, Cavaliers are dusted, and the Celtics are dusted. So what everybody thinks, if not was the best team or the best team left, was Oklahoma City. And, you know, Denver went about as far as they should. You fire your coach and GM late in the year means you weren't having a great year. And they ran out of gas against a young, sick, hungry. The city can smell NBA title. They'll be, I think, a slight favorite over Minnesota in the Western Finals. And also we get ready for Indiana in New York in the East. It was not a fun Friday night at the Shapiro home, I can tell you. That wasn't even, I mean, that was one of the worst basketball games just for any fan, unless you're a Knicks fan, was right. Friday night yeah. Celtics getting absolutely rolled over. So it could be real interesting. It may not be ratings grabbers, but Indiana could play Oklahoma City in the NBA Finals. I don't think people had that on their bingo card.
I'm wondering what your Bobby thinks, because Bobby's more tuned into these younger players. If we're witnessing the changing of the guards, and nothing more prevalent than those four teams and their superstars.
Yeah, I mean, he loves SGA and Anthony Edwards.
Yeah,
I mean,
he
talks about those guys a lot, you know, and they're than Tyrese Halliburton. But Tyrese is a great leader for the Pacers as well. Tremendous NBA town, man, is Indiana. Never had an NBA title. I think Reggie Miller went to the finals once. Obviously, Oklahoma City's never won. Knicks haven't been in the finals in the East in 25 years. They almost, you know, burned down Gotham, as they say. So there's a lot of great stories out there. And the Timberwolves, by far the best stretch in the history of that franchise. They never did this well with Kevin Garnett or Stephen Marbury, anything close to it. Anthony Edwards is king of the world.
And no games tonight. Atlanta, the Dream will host Caitlin Clark and Indiana on Thursday night at State Farm. If you're trying to get, that's not a bad start to Memorial Day weekend. One of the best races of the year last night, NASCAR at Wilkesboro. It was the all-star Christopher Bell wins that thing and $1 million big old payday. The Coca-Cola 600 night in Concord, the PGA Championship. Scottie Scheffler wins it at 11 under. That was five shots better than three under. Reading a lot. Great article by Mark Schlabaugh. Just penciling him in for when he's in the lead. Good luck, everybody.
Yeah, you know what he's good for? Ruining Sundays, not for his opponents, but for people that sit down and go like, oh, this is going to be a fun down the stretch.
Yeah, yeah.
There was no drama yesterday whatsoever. A little bit of drama on Saturday night. Journalism
wins.
Yeah, he wins the Preakness.
Preakness.
And shows you nothing fluky about that horse. Almost won the Kentucky Derby. Wins the Preakness, and then we'll find out what horses will be in the Belmont. But you have a legendary horse in the middle of a run as well.
And we love that it's journalism. Journalism!
For sure. Hey, we're going to talk about hate watching, because a lot of fans out there look at the Knicks and be like, no. Just no.
No.
Anybody but them. Are there some other teams out there? We got a cut from Kurt Menefee who says, there's an NFL team that may own that. We can't tell you till you hang out a few minutes. We'll be back. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Hey, it's 9:23 on a Monday morning in the great city of Atlanta. My name is Steak. That's Sandra. The show is The Steakhouse. We're going to talk about the notion of, are there the teams you love, you watch them, and then are there the players and the teams and the personalities that you revel in watching to lose, right?
Correct.
The beauty of sports, it's good versus evil in your own mind. It's those personalities that you root for and those you root against. And some folks lean into them more in terms of leagues, and Kurt Menefee has a thought on that coming up. We'll play and maybe talk about how it relates back to the NBA, and certainly how folks may or may not be watching the NBA playoffs with four teams left and big decisions coming down the pike for the Atlanta Hawks, who are reportedly are going to hire a president of basketball operations to be the boss and figure out all kinds of things in the offseason, including two number one picks that you know that they're going to have to sort out.
Is it possible they're not hiring that position? Because I did get wind of that on Friday that it's floating out there. I forget which national reporter, and I apologize, said they may not hire anybody.
Well, yes, I would say
just
I heard similar rumors. Mm-hmm. Ansi Salah is the general manager. Quinn Snyder is the coach. Are they really going to bring in somebody to make basketball decisions using both of those guys' input, but ultimately making the final decision. I don't know. They love Ansi Sala so much. Maybe you just run with that. Ansi Sala's been here. He can decide whether this Trae Young-led group, this combination of players with two number ones, has a chance to go to the NBA Finals. Because the Indiana Pacers are the NBA Finals, and the New York Knicks, one of those two is going to be there. Are we that far off if you pull the right strings and the right cards? All of a sudden, Cleveland and Boston, you know, you thought we were nowhere near those guys. That's what I thought. Well, that tune has changed. Meanwhile, Denver, they won a title a few years ago. They're blown out by, again, they'll be a surprising NBA champion this year in either Oklahoma City, Minnesota, Indiana, or New York. Jokic will not get his title. It was a strange scenario. Again, it was a bad day of sports. I'm just going to say that. It was a bad day of sports if you just wanted drama. Game 7 in the National Hockey League playoffs, the Florida Panthers show they are one of those franchises like the Atlanta Braves. They just win. Now, they don't win the cup every year, but they're just next level. What was that final? 6-1 on the road in Toronto? Bad game. The Scottie Scheffler run yesterday.
Holy smokes.
No drama.
5 shots better.
Yeah, no.
There was a little bit of drama with John Rahm, but it really wasn't. It's just like Mark Schlabaugh said, when he is out in front and he's ahead, he is the closer. He just is going to get it done.
So the PGA Championship didn't have the drama. And then Denver and Oklahoma City, awful game. I mean, just awful. OKC goes on run at the end. And then you ask the question about firing your head coach when you did, and almost an impossible situation with David Adelman in that seat. I don't think you fired your coach and GM to have David Adelman be your head coach, even though they had a nice run. But a guy that should know that is Nikola Jokic.
I'm not the guy to add. I mean, it's above my pay grade.
I'm not. I want to go home. We have a whole.
He said he wanted beers.
The guy to add. I mean, it's above my pay grade.
Did he say that too?
He said there's going to be beers. Yeah, it's very good.
We have a thing in our family that we have fun with. Bobby and Sophie and myself. Noel's not a big enough sports fan to. Where it's just like if we're out doing errands or something like that. One of us will go just, I need to go home.
I want to go.
When is the parade? And then everyone will start quoting. When's the parade? Wednesday? No.
I want to go home.
That's
funny.
That's how we
I'm
communicate.
Steal that. I need to go
yeah,
home.
Yeah, I know. I want to go home. Is that, we got to get the exact cut on that, by the way, on how he said it. But anyways, here's Kurt Menefee. Let's play this cut. He's talking about why the Dallas Cowboys are getting 5 nationally televised.
6 national. It's 6. The second most in the NFL, 6. And it's the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, last I checked, they were bad last year.
Mm-hmm.
And Dak Prescott hasn't won anything. And the Cowboys look like, okay, they're fine, I guess, but nothing special.
Win or lose, people may say they hate it that the Cowboys are on television so much. But the reason they are is because win or lose, people watch them. You know, they're that franchise. And I don't know if there's another in sports that's like that anymore. People used to talk about the Yankees or the Lakers. I think some of that hatred watching has waned everywhere except the NFL.
Has it waned everywhere except the NFL? That is an interesting question. I mean, certainly they hate watch the Patriots easily with Belichick and Brady, right?
Yep.
That existed for years. Not a lot of hate watching of the Chiefs, although.
Falcon fans, we hate watch the Saints. Like, it's joyful when they lose and we pull against the real rivalry.
Yeah, that's because it's a rival. I agree. But I mean, that's not driving a national audience. People aren't, you know, like the notion that the NFL can have teams that you hate watch them specifically. Like, Eagles fans may hate watch. Well, anybody in the division, but the Cowboys, you're right. But I think the notion is, are the Dallas Cowboys, like the Lakers and LeBron, I think there was a lot of folks rooting against that, you know, the overhype of the Lakers, the ESPN obsession with just, you know, hammering you with nonstop Laker talk, right? So I would say in the NBA, and now the New York Knicks and the friggin' Knicks fans who are just insufferable. I mean, I got to tell you, it's a rootable team. Jalen Brunson, if you like the sport of basketball.
I would root for them if they were in Utah.
Right.
They're a great group.
Minnesota,
but that obnoxious
Chicago.
New York noise that they act like all this, you know, and the problem is the national shows are all out of New York, so they're acting like we don't watch sports 24/7, and they're just reminding us that their team is in it. I'm like, yeah, no duh, Kelly and Mark.
Right.
On your silly little
they
show
this?
About the Knicks.
And Howard, all Howard
of them.
Stern now
oh
is saying,
oh, my God.
I like Howard Stern. I've always loved the Knicks.
Yeah.
That's what he said. I've always loved the Knicks, right? So now they're all on the bandwagon. Listen, the NBA loves Celebrity Row, no question. There's Kendall Jenner, and there is is it Kendall or Kylie? Who goes out with Timothy Chalamet? Which one of those? Maybe
Kylie.
And Tracy Morgan and Ben Stiller and Tina Fey and, you know.
Okay, so we like that, too, here at the Hawks.
Right. Well, you get a lot of it at the Hawks.
Yeah.
It's just, you know.
It's a smart business move.
Atlanta influences everything. We love that. But, yeah, I mean, the Knicks fans. Listen, are they more obnoxious than Philly or Boston? Yes. In some cases, they are, especially when it comes to basketball. I mean, they are losing their mind. They're shutting down streets. And you know, if you want to pull for somebody that is just like Midwestern, down home, basketball is everything in the state of Indiana versus the hype and the just – the level of to the nth degree that is the playing the Knicks. And if I hit you about the mecca of Madison Square Garden, yes, the mecca of basketball is right through here. Okay. Well, like, there's something rootable about the Pacers to be able to go in there and say, like, you know, we're the anti-New York in terms of hype. So is there something to that? Do you think that the reason they put Dallas on is more about how many teams hate them, or is it just because Dallas is America's team still, even though that term
all
is
of those
40
things,
years old?
It's you know, Q rating where you know of them and yeah. You hate them. It's equally as valuable as loving them and buying merchandise. You are watching, you're waiting to have them tumble. And the whole Johnson, it's just the whole package deal. We hate Dallas, or you love
them. Is that Jerry Jones?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you said Johnson.
Oh, Jim, sorry. Yeah. I was thinking of
Jimmy Johnson. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they haven't done anything in forever, and yet the hype, you know, they're just one of those visible teams that you see the star and you think, you know, that's a big conversation. And why are the Falcons on 5 national games? Because it certainly isn't about the love and hate relationship anybody has with the Falcons. Why do you think the Falcons have 5? Why?
We discussed this last week, Steak, and I mean, but the first thing I said to you was, wow. And then I was like, well, who are they playing? And then the other side of it is they are trending up. It is a sexy, sexy
yes,
offense. Michael Penix factor is a real thing.
You just said it. I mean, we don't have to debate this.
Yep.
This is not about they're a visible team America's fascinated with. Nope. They're a team with a history that, you know, garners watching. Nope. They're a team that's on a great run in the last few years. Nope. I think you just said it. They have a sexy team.
Yep.
Michael Penix Jr., Bijan Robinson, Drake London, Raheem Morris, the two number ones. They're trending. You put 100%. Them on 5 games, and you put the over-under. Vegas may not agree. It's 7.5, right? I heard Boomer Esiason driving in today. He said there's more action, whoever it was. No, it's Bet on Sports. There's more action on New England now than anybody in football.
What's their number?
Same as the Falcons, 7.5.
Wow.
They were 3-14 last year. So, like, and, they, you know, okay, we have the same win-loss total as the Patriots? Seriously?
Only one game better than the Saints and the Panthers, which you guys tell me are the worst teams in the NFL.
Well, the Saints will be bad. I think people think Carolina.
I would take the over on Carolina right this second.
The over.
The over.
Okay,
on Carolina.
You like that.
I like Carolina.
At 6.5. All right. Hey, by the way, here's the cut. One of our famous in all-time steakhouse history.
So I'm curious what you are feeling right now and if you're looking forward to a parade coming up in Denver.
Venice parade.
Thursday.
No. I need to go home.
Okay. Was the line, I need to go home?
I need to go home.
That's what we say. So Bobby good. Will turn to me.
Winnie's parade.
I was like, no. Bobby, we just got to do two more things. He'll just go, I need to go home.
I need to go home.
That's a moment.
Oh, I love that.
Chappies have fun with that. When we come back, is Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese the best thing for the WNBA, or has it turned into the worst? Also, the tailgate. One of our great friends of show had a moment this weekend that's never happened. One of the great coaches all time. Sports Radio 929. Tailgate first. Oh, hi, I'm on the radio. We're going to do the tailgate first. Hi, Bo. How are you?
Hi, everybody.
What's happening? Bo, Caleb, Steak, Sandra. A funky day started like this. So I was in some member guest tournament over the weekend, or I wasn't, on top of everything else, graduation, everything else. And I get up myself, you know, it takes a little longer to get going in the morning now. I haven't played tennis in a while because I had a bad back and, you know, planters and old person, like, stupid stuff. So sure enough, I show up to play in this tournament 2 days in a row.
Tennis or golf?
Tennis. 8 a.m., pouring friggin' rain. 8:30, pouring friggin' rain. Now, on Saturday, it cleared early enough that you had a gorgeous day. Sunday, same exact thing. Like, roll out of bed, been, you know, dealing with parties all weekend and everything else. I got to get to this thing. Same deal. And then yesterday was pretty nice all the rest of the day, but there's this like 8 to 10 a.m. deal. Now, it's not going to get nicer today, it doesn't look like, right? But I can tell you, a lot of people spend a lot of time and money to have these tournaments and just washed out on Sunday. Just totally washed out.
Yeah, yucky today too.
Yeah.
Sorry,
so,
y'all.
No, the rest of the day was fine. We got some tennis in, and I was so bad that I was like, I hope it rains tomorrow. So I get there to the courts. And next thing you know, it's like, you know, some guy's making Bloody Marys. I was like, this thing could go one way here, but I got a lot of things I got to do on Sunday. So we get rained out completely yesterday morning. And it's one of those times of year, right? Either you get the late afternoon showers, which will happen in the middle of the summer, or lately it's just been these thunderstorms in the morning.
Yeah.
The whole deal. So
violent even overnight, and the tragic tornadoes over the weekend, scary. But I will give you some real good things to look forward to.
Yeah.
A little thing called Labor Day weekend. Friday's high.
Memorial Day weekend.
Memorial Day. So, excuse me. 72 degrees and not a cloud in the sky Friday. Saturday, partly cloudy, 76. Sunday, 83. That's the warmest it's going to get. Monday, a little bit of rain coming in.
But no meter.
And the Braves are home. The Padres are here.
Oh, dude, Braves and Padres is going to be a great series. I mean, that is a great Memorial Day series.
Oh, my God. It sure is.
For sure. So excited for that. You know, Virginia Highland has that Porch Fest. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Thousands and thousands of people. If those of you who don't know what it is, it's all over the Virginia Highlands neighborhood. Bands playing on people's front porch. Huge festival. Weather was amazing on Saturday once it cleared up. So that's just another one of these cool things that happens in Atlanta. That thing started small, and now everybody, like, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people in front of people's houses, moving house to house, and all these vendors and everything else. So that was very, very cool over the weekend as well. Anyways, I want to talk a little WNBA in a little bit, but first let's do a tailgate.
The conference baseball tournaments will get underway Tuesday, both for the SEC and the ACC. I'll break it down a little bit more for you tomorrow.
However,
Danny Hall is retiring. The head baseball coach at Georgia Tech, a great all-around guy, a class act, a great dad, a great husband, terrific guy. The Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets won the regular season for the ACC for the first time since he's been there. So, cheers to you. You are the number one seed in the ACC tournament that starts tomorrow. I am so happy for them.
I mean, you want to talk about emotions. I told you about our weekend. You know, we had all these final moments, right? Final moments on campus at the high school, final moments at graduation, at our final recital, everything else. How about the emotion for Danny Hall and all the years?
So great.
At some point, unless he gets to Omaha, right? Or even then, at some point, they will be coming off the field with a loss. And it'll be the end of Danny Hall's career. But boy, is he having a hell of a final year at the Flats. Danny Hall running Georgia Tech baseball and delivering big time.
Love it. Congratulations to him. Like I said, I'll tell you who Georgia's playing. All of that starts. I believe Georgia and Georgia Tech don't play until Wednesday.
There were six teams that won 17 conference games this year in the ACC. It was as tight as it gets, but Tech was 19-11 in the conference and first outright win. So since 2005.
That's amazing. Good for him. Danny's the best. Article over the weekend dropped, and while you read the headlines, who are the best college football coaches? You're like, well, okay, this ought to be easy. What's interesting here is who was left out of the top 10 in the country. Now, stay with me here a minute. ESPN did it, and they went to credible journalists. And based on a lot of ways to kind of slice this pie, coaches that have the best career resume. Coaches are on track to achieve the most success. Coaches have helped develop the most NFL talent. Coaches that have overachieved based on the talent and resources that they have. Coming in number one, and it wasn't close, you're not going to be surprised, it's Kirby Smart. From their stake, I ask you, and I always say, if we were going to start a team and you're on the playground and you have the field to choose, you're choosing Kirby Smart to start your program with right now. The next nine, I thought was interesting. Do you want a time to take a stab at who would you say is next? Who would you want next?
Who would I want?
And you guys in your car, just start thinking about it. Like, literally think about what's going on in the world. Your current national title game is Ohio State. So is Ryan Day, your second best.
Well, I think from being fired and not being able to be Michigan all these, no, he can't be second
best. He's number two on their list. Wow. Number three. Who's jumping out?
How do you get to be number two when you lose to Michigan again this year and you're on a four-game losing streak to Michigan, which is your most important game of the year? I know you won a national title, but you basically outspent the entire country and loaded up a team that just rolled through the playoffs, but okay. Dan Lanning anywhere in there?
He is.
What he's done at Oregon?
I want to continue with number three, if you will,
sorry.
Because I'm fascinated that we forget about him. You guys all listening. Dabo Swinney is number three, finished no lower than sixth on any single ballot of all these coaches, and how well he does at a little thing called Clemson right up the road. Number four is Marcus Freeman at Notre Dame, then Sark at Texas with all the money. Dan Lanning comes in at six. Some thought he should have been higher. Lanning took over as head coach in 2022. Oregon has 35 wins. That is the most in FBS in that span, right behind Georgia. Kalen DeBoer is seven. James Franklin is eight. Kyle Whittingham at Utah is nine. And then Matt Campbell at Iowa State.
Okay. All right. I mean, listen, do we reward coaches because they have the biggest, most money to spend? You know, what did Caleb Ward do so far at Alabama with all the resources in the world? The best coach in the world is probably the best coaches are probably at the Mid-American Conference that doesn't have any resources, that knows football extremely well. It's like what I say about the NCAA basketball tournament. If you win two or three games as a mid-major in the NCAA, you get the next massive job in college basketball, right?
Yeah.
Like, is he really that much better than the guy who's coaching at East Carolina or Southwest Missouri, who just is a great coach but has none of the resources to do it? And I say the same about college football. When you have all the money. Now, Kirby has proven it because Kirby has a long-going track record. What has Steve Sarkisian done? It's so impressive. Other than get all the money in the world over at Texas, sign every player, and fall on his face. Couldn't even be Georgia.
Well, that's why I said you could argue the top 10 and where they should even be. I think it's more interesting of who's not listed here.
I think
Lane Kiffin, Bill Belichick, Brian Kelly.
Well, you can't name, Bill Belichick. Can't name a guy that's never coached a second of college football. So, but I agree with you on Brian Kelly and Lane Kiffin. But again, it's the haves and have-nots of college football.
Yeah.
Real quick, Georgia women's tennis national champions. First time, I believe, in 35 years. They go up against Texas A&M, who was number two. They lost to them in the regular season. Then they won in the SEC tournament against them. The top two programs. They swept them.
Yep. That's awesome.
4-0.
That's amazing.
They swept them 4-0 and did not lose a point the entire NCAA tournament. Florida A&M, Georgia Tech, Cal, and Duke on their run to the championship. None of those schools, including Texas A&M, won one match.
That is incredible.
Georgia.
Good for you,
it's
Georgia
the sixth
ladies.
National title since Josh Brooks became the AD in January of 21. So you've won six titles since then. And again, for Drake Bernstein in his second year with the program, captures a national title.
And Georgia softball, this was late last night, Bo.
Georgia softball eliminates number 14 seed Duke. They head up to Duke and win that regional tournament. One of the girls at Rusty Manziel, our very own Rusty coaches, hits the game-tying base hit in the top of the seventh inning. They would go on to the eighth. That's extra innings in softball, and they would win it with a home run in the top of the eighth.
That's a huge win.
Moves on to the Super Regionals.
That's a huge win for Georgia softball. All right, good stuff. Hey, speaking of women's sports, Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, obviously, you put them in the opener for the WNBA. A hard foul by Caitlin on Angel. I think it was a flagrant. I think you kind of threw her to the ground and grabbed her arms, which is great. I mean, like, I think she would have done that to anybody. It was a wide open layup. She's twice your size. You're trying to prevent, you know, you're trying to make her. Listen, I coach my kids. Right? Why are you letting anybody get a 3-point play ever, right? It's all about making sure they don't get the shot off. That's exactly what Caitlin Clark do. Then Angel Reese gets in her face. Great for the WNBA. All of it is perfect. Great rivalry. Chicago getting absolutely blown out of the building. So Caitlin
93-58.
Clark, what was the bet by Portnoy? Bet on a triple-double for Caitlin Clark that he won massive money. But then reports start to surface that the Indiana fans may or may not have been saying inappropriate, possibly racial stuff to Angel Reese. To now, you know, camps, one saying this is fabricated, trumped up. Nobody heard anybody in Indiana sideline or fans yapping anything inappropriate or racial at Angel Reese. The other side saying it absolutely is a thing. Now, I don't doubt it on social media, the cesspool of cesspools, that it got absolutely lowest common denominator, the black, white Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark thing, or started trolling Angel Reese on top of it. But the question was, did the WNBA need to say, we are looking into reports of Indiana fans? Did the Indiana Fever need to do that? And is this the best thing for the WNBA or the worst thing? I mean, I don't know, man. Caitlin Clark and the numbers for the WNBA are driven by Caitlin Clark. Now, the rivalry is a great thing, but she's going to put up numbers regardless. Is her being white have anything to do with the entire picture? Listen, the entire picture is the entire picture. Yes, of course it has something to do with a diminutive, relatively speaking, white girl that's, you know, the greatest heralded college basketball player of all time that trumps every other player ahead of her. Is there some racial bias or frustration there? Whether it's fair or not, there is. Whether there were comments thrown out, nobody knows for sure at Angel Reese. But, like, this is America. This is race in America. If you don't think it's going to come up, I don't know where you've been living, but maybe you're like someone in a monastery. You don't have access to anything, you know, in the media or social, or you don't know the history. So, like, it's just going to come up. So it's unfortunate. Listen, I live in a town. I think about the Mike Vick situation, right? I mean,
the Mike with Matt.
Say it again.
The Mike Vick.
No,
with
the
Matt.
Mike Vick of getting put in federal prison, and you know, angry fans of how Mike Vick deserted this team, and you know, Mike Vick lied to the feds, and Mike Vick gets what he deserves, and then the other side was like, you know, this is a travesty. Arthur should put Mike Vick back on the team when he gets out of prison. And why would you let and it was 100% virtually on racial lines, right? Right or wrong. That's how it fell down the pike. If you don't understand that when you turn on your radio, you're going to hear racial stuff fall on racial lines, then you don't know the United States of America, or you don't know any, like, that's just how it happens. So, you know, has Angel Reese and Caitlin, you know, fallen on that? Of course it has. But, I mean, everything in our country eventually falls on it. And I'm not saying I don't have a big statement on it other than it doesn't surprise me at all. Now, it surprised me a little when I was doing sports talk radio how angry people were at Arthur Blank. about the Mike Vick situation. Like, what the hell you want him to do? But again, it runs deep, you know. Racial bias or loyalty runs deep, and I think it's running deep in the Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese stuff. So at the end of the day, it's great for the WNBA to have the eyeballs. It's not great to have to sit there and make apologies or say we're looking into.
Yeah, the aftermath is not cute.
Right? The aftermath is a cesspool.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, the bet was Dave Portnoy, $25,000 bet that Caitlin Clark would get a triple-double. And she did.
What were her numbers? Do you see them? Because I guess it was like easy,
20,
right?
10, and 10.
Oh, wasn't easy.
20, 10, and 10.
And
he won $350,000.
Jeez.
On $25,000.
And he was sitting courtside.
Yep, he was.
And he was sitting courtside. Hey, Riley Ballard. What did I just say?
Riley,
oh, Austin Riley.
His cousin.
Sorry. Austin Riley had a great weekend. Riley Ballard he had a great weekend too, all over Fenway Park. We'll talk to him from the Braves broadcast when we come back. Sports Radio 929. Hey, it's 10
o'clock. Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.
5 on Sports Radio 929, again, number one sports talk radio station in the Southeast, and it's Steak and Sandra as Braves have a fabulous weekend in Boston. I hope a lot of Atlanta fans were there. Looked like they were enjoying it.
Oh, yeah.
And I know this guy enjoyed it because of 2 out of 3 and because of what looked like just a pleasant time to be up in Beantown. It's just getting ready to usher in summer in a classic ballpark in a classic city. And Wiley Ballard joining us on Sports Radio 929 The Game. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, guys. And well, this past weekend, from a weather standpoint, I mean, I know Saturday wasn't fun on the field, but Friday and Sunday, I mean, it was close to a perfect weekend. So I had a great time. It was really cool.
How many times you covered games at Fenway so far?
That'd be my first time ever covering games at Fenway. I've been a few times over the years, but that was my first time getting a chance to see the visiting clubhouse and walk around the field and, you know, go inside the Green Monster and all those things. So it was pretty special.
Take the listener inside, the viewer, on how you're prepping for Wrigley, Fenway, you know, obviously City Field, any of those, but particularly when you're in a place as historic as that, how much prep goes into it? How do you know what's going to be a great run? How much baseball? How much nonsense? How do you make, how do you navigate that space?
Yeah, so I think, you know, for me, I'm primarily focused on the Braves. You know, Brandon and Glav or Brandon and CJ, they'll handle most of the stuff for the opponent, but a lot of the work I'm doing is going to be focused on the Braves. The one exception would be when it comes to the ballpark, right? You know, because that becomes more of a location. It's, you know, you kind of want it to feel like we're at an event, you know, kind of exploring those areas. And admittedly, we only had 2 games this weekend. And then, both games really up until late on Sunday, on Friday and Sunday, were pretty tight. So, you know, if there's a game, you know, if it's a one-run game going to the ninth like we had Friday, it's probably going to be mostly focused on what's going on the field as opposed to me exploring, you know, let's go on top of the Green Monster or let's go check, you know, this and that out. So, I think game situation dictates a lot of what we do. I mean, there were some things we discussed doing, like, for instance, going inside the Green Monster or going on top of it or exploring Lansdowne Street, to where we might have done a little more of that if the games had been more lopsided. But because the games are so good, that's kind of, it's all dictated by, you know, what needs to be the most important piece of the telecast. Now, granted, there's the ninth inning on Sunday, you know, when the Braves do have a 6-run lead, it gives us a chance to go visit with Dusty and Naomi, who are the two fans who got Marcelo Zuna's bat, and kind of have some fun there. But as far as my prep going in, I mean, obviously I'll kind of read about, you know, what's going on in the ballpark. And, you know, I mean, I don't think it's any secret. The last few times I've we've traveled, if there's a unique, you know, offering at the concession stand, I'm going to explore that, if nothing else, like the mayonnaise and cotton candy fries in Toronto, which were terrible. But yeah, I think a lot of it's dictated by the game. And, you know, obviously that's our number one goal, is to serve the viewer when it comes to what happens on the field.
Wiley Ballard, FanDuel Sports, on with us. Back up to the ninth inning yesterday. That was a really cool moment. And those that don't remember, can you tell everybody, Ozuna hits the home run, and then in your ear you hear, you got to go get those fans.
You know, to be honest with you, Sandra, So Marcel gives away the bat in the eighth inning. After that, the Braves have built their lead. There was a woman and her husband, Naomi and Dusty from Dawsonville, who had come up for the weekend. It was an entirely secret plan from Naomi. She surprised her husband, Dusty, with what was a bucket list trip, is how he discussed it. She coordinated some work with some friends in Boston who had front row seats behind the visitors' dugouts. They had these phenomenal seats. It's been a great weekend. And like you pointed out, in the eighth inning, Marcel gives away his bat, and Naomi in particular just goes berserk. She's a huge Marcel Ozuna fan. And so once we see the reaction, and not to mention the proximity to where I am, I'm just stationed outside the left field side of the Braves dugout, so it was about a two-minute walk for me to get there. And look, I mean, you know, that's why we love doing what we do, you know, what we do. You know, this couple loves Braves baseball. They travel for a weekend in Boston, which would have been memorable for anybody. But then on top of that, to get not just a baseball, but a bat from the Big Bear, I mean, it's in a lot of ways a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
And Wiley, that you can't script it. Her reaction, the fan, the pure love, the cutaway shots of Marcel Ozuna, they were loving being on with you. I mean, and then they kept going to her, and everybody's blowing up their phone, I guess. But you want to talk about an organic, wonderful fan moment. You can't script it. It was perfect. You did a great job.
Well, I appreciate it. You know, somebody texted me and said, that was a great interview. And I said, well, to be honest with you, it's because the interviewees were great.
Yeah,
I mean, there's nothing I can do to create that emotion and that excitement. I mean, my whole goal was just to make sure that we were able to draw some of it out. And again, I I'm born and raised in Atlanta. Obviously, this opportunity has been a dream come true. But, you know, there's still part of me that feels that way inside when I get a chance to do some of these things these last several weeks. So, I, as a Braves fan, you know, born and raised, I identified a lot with that emotion. I can imagine myself having a similar reaction years ago if that had happened to me. So,
that's great.
And that's what makes Braves baseball so special.
Wiley Ballard, where there's FanDuel Sports, does a fabulous job, obviously, covering the Braves.
Star of the broadcast. I mean, let's just say.
Why
it's
do you
safe.
Keep saying that? As if there are two
is.
Other guys.
I know, but
they're gonna keep hearing that. And then
Wiley,
we're not gonna
I know your boss pretty well, and I remember hitting her up last year. I'm like, "Where's Wiley?" Because you were around very little, and she goes, "Oh, we're getting him back. Don't you worry." Like the reaction with you has been really something.
Hey, Wiley, is the find the parents for the first big league at bat? Is that a standard now? Because in Atlanta, you know, it has produced some of the great moments of first at-bats or first games, and then nothing more spontaneous than that.
Oh, absolutely. That's 100%. Obviously, Drake's been the rookie that we've had this year. And, you know, it's funny. You go back and look at those first seven games, you know, in San Diego and L.A., there weren't a whole lot of hits to be found. He was hitting the ball hard, and now he's been one of the best hitters in baseball since then. I mean, we put up a graphic up yesterday about the you know, his slugging percentage, and it's right up there with Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge and Freddie Freeman. And you know, he's a guy who, you know, Smith said it after the game yesterday. He has to play more. If you're swinging the bat like this, he's going to play. You know, in the last 14 games, he's hitting .500. He's 19 for his last 38. I mean, it's been so much fun to watch. And to me, what is so impressive about him is his approach doesn't change. You know, we saw him in early on yesterday's game, bases loaded. He goes the other way, not trying to do anything too special, although he had homered, you know, just the day before. You know, he's not trying to get big and pull the ball and hit it 500 feet. And you know, we asked him yesterday after the game about, you know, does this feel surreal to have this type of success? And he goes, you know, I've tried to kind of keep my head down and you know, just focus on my job and obviously a lot of responsibilities as both, you know, a hitter and a catcher. But he did admit every time he walks to the plate and looks up and sees that he's hitting .357 with, you know, five homers, 15 RBIs, slugging over close to .600, he kind of shakes his head and says, it's pretty unbelievable.
That's awesome.
Let's talk about that because Sandra and I have been doing this a long time, and whatever storyline is in spring training that you think is going to be the one You get into the meat of a season, and you're like, didn't see Baldwin being our best hitter. Didn't see not having our leadoff guy, Drickson Profar. Didn't see, Eli White being right in the middle of everything. I think all these storylines in 47 games, to have you look up and be like, wow, no Strider, no Acuna, and we're a game over 500 after an 0-7 start. I don't think a Braves fan could ask for more than that.
No, I think you're spot on. I felt pretty confident. I think most people, who cover the game on a daily level felt pretty confident that the Braves had enough talent to where they would get back above 500. This is a playoff caliber roster. But to be here on May 19th, where you're a game over that quickly, I think that kind of surprised everyone. And look, I know the bullpen's had a few hiccups here recently, but to me, I think a lot of it has to do with the way the pitching staff has performed. Specifically the starting rotation over this 17-day stretch, just continuously getting them deep in a game. And as great as this weekend was, and hopefully it's a foreshadowing of what's to come offensively, hitting, I think, 7 home runs as a team, something along there. The pitching staff is the reason they've been able to climb back to where they are, because the offense up until this weekend, and save maybe a stretch there in mid-April, has really struggled to this point. And I think everyone feels like just the names they have in this lineup. We saw Matt Olson sort of break out of it this weekend. We saw Marcelo Zuna homer yesterday, or hit a couple of home runs this weekend. I think it's coming. But again, I think the pitching staff deserves a lot of credit, and particularly the bullpen. I know they had a tough night of it on Saturday, and they had another one against the Nats. But really, up until that point, you got to go a ways back to find the last time they coughed one up. And again, that's for a team that, or for a bullpen that, beyond Raisel Iglesias, has really carried their weight. And I think Raisel's also shown a lot of signs of getting back to who he was and who he's going to be.
20 seconds left. When are you going to be talking about Ronald Acuna and Spencer Strider this week in terms of being on the field?
Can't wait. Spencer's going to – looks like he'll start tomorrow. It's all but a certainty. I think the biggest thing for him is just don't have those expectations too high. It's going to take him some time to get that velocity built up. Ronald, man, looks good. And Gwinnett homered yesterday, and he'll be back soon.
Friday night, San Diego.
That's what it feels like to me, but I'm just a silent reporter who speculates across the field.
Thanks, buddy. Great
Wiley.
Job. Wiley Ballard.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, y'all.
All right. Guy is on his game through and through FanDuel Sports. Good job getting him lined up. Sandy, when we come back, we got more to get to. We got things I learned over the weekend. A surprise moment at my daughter's high school graduation. What's up with Atlanta United? And we got a real superstar in the horse racing game. Sports Radio 92.9. Hey, it's 10:25, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Thanks for being with us. Coming up in a few minutes, things I learned. My biggest moment ever on social media just went crazy. And also a surprise commencement speaker for a high school graduation my daughter was lucky enough to be a part of. And I have a cut from it, which I think our listeners cherish as well. We talked about Fenway Park over the weekend. Braves get 2 out of 3. I guess they lose the Smoltz game. That was the Fox game. Mm-hmm. Did you listen to it all? You were at a party or something, right?
Yeah, we had it on in the background because, Dave Ide, big Boston. So all his whole family's there from Boston screaming, and I'm in there mouthing off when it's 5-0.
Right.
So didn't go well for
me. Saturday wasn't a good ending, but the weekend was solid, dude. Sale on Friday. Yesterday, you blow the 3-0 lead, but then you just get to work. Braves now again.
10 runs on 16 hits. Schwellenbach again, outstanding. 7-inning, 4-run ball. Fantastic. Gave up that grand slam, but.
Yeah, it was a solid outing because he went 7. You don't like to give up a 3-run lead. You're up 3-0 because of the granny. But Rafael Devers, by the way, that's the guy that refuses to play first base. They kicked him out of third. Mm-hmm. And then they made him a DH, and they lost their first baseman. And then the owner had to go meet with him to say, like, we need you in the line. We need your bat, but we need you at first base so we don't have to play these guys because they shouldn't be starters. And he's like, that's adorable, but I'm a DH.
I'm sure the Boston fans love that.
Well, they loved him more when he had a walk-off. So fact is, watched some Yankees and Mets last night, watched some NHL. I know no one down here really cares about that. But I look at the Braves – and I say that's the difference with some franchises that are given the benefit of the doubt. With some franchises that you just have faith that they will figure it out. You've been rooting for years. Most evenings when you invest your time in that franchise, you more often than not are given a pleasurable experience, whether that is at Turner Field, whether that is at Truist, whether that is, you know, covering the Braves for the last, well, you know, I got here in 95, but starting in 91, right, when all the magic starts to happen. Like, you know, the Braves start 0-7. At one point, there were 8 games under .500. Everything that could go wrong was going wrong. Ronaldo Lopez is out. Spencer Strider is out. Jerkson Profar is out. We can't hit worth a lick. Our closer keeps giving it up. Your luck turnaround going. The Mets are on a epic run. Is this going to be one of those long and winding seasons that is not what we're used to? And then you look up, and it is May 19th. So the season starts in April, kids. It's May 19th. You're a game over 500. You haven't had Ronald Acuna, Spencer Strider, you had for one start, I believe. Is that right?
Yep.
So, like, this could be a fabulous summer. You heard
Wiley
Ballard talking about what it's like to have a rookie that is lighting it up.
Drake Baldwin, I like to call him Drake May, because what he is doing is absurd. So
I mean, how fun is this going to be?
Oh, my gosh. And listen, Snit was great yesterday talking about, I don't even know if it's going to be platooning as much. He might go a couple with Sean Murphy and then a couple with Drake. Drake has to be in the lineup, and it's matchups and lefties and righties. But when he's on fire like this, he's got to be in the lineup. And listen, it'll settle back in. They'll figure him out just like it's baseball.
Any rookie, right?
Right.
But it doesn't matter. The excitement around. You know, Michael Harris hasn't hit worth a lick. Ozzie Albee's numbers have been dreadful. You're wondering, like, how the hell did we just grind this thing out? And you look up, and, you know, we have a closer that's made us crazy. And
Raisel Iglesias, I don't know. Wiley said it's starting to look like he's figuring it out.
Yeah, okay. I don't know exactly what he's looking at to say that. But whatever it is, it's like... And then you have the Hawks and Falcons, and I'm not trying to, like, throw strays at those organizations, but there's just not a history that you can say, you know. Listen, the Falcons have the ultimate mistrust because of what happened, right? They have the ultimate mistrust because you took your fans on one of the worst journeys ever. We'll talk more about that. Mina Kimes had some fascinating stuff about the Falcons, but the Hawks as well. You've been one Eastern Conference final in your history. You went to there a few years ago, and you went up in flames. You had that best record, number one seed against, with the Korver, Damari Carroll, Millsap team, and you got swept by the Cavs. Now you got 4 years of, like, you're the play-in team. Like, you just haven't built that loyalty. You just don't, you know, that's what it's like. You know, the Knicks absolutely smoked Boston in game six, smoked them. Mm-hmm. Celtics fans have been given so much over the years that they think they're winning that game. So when something like that happens, I'd almost argue it's like the Phillies beating us the way they have a couple of times. Braves fans, Red Sox, Celtics fans, they just assume something good will happen because there's a history in that franchise that we figure it out. Now, it didn't happen. The Knicks are in the finals. We haven't been on the air since the Friday night debacle. But that's just my point, right? That there's certain organizations you feel like they're going to figure it out. Braves have done a fabulous job.
No one thought the Indiana Pacers were figuring it out and going to the Eastern Championship. Their odds, I just looked it up, that their over-under was 46.5 wins, plus 5,000 if you were to bet them.
To win the title.
To get into the finals.
Right.
To even get in
the finals. Well, and I'm telling you that, like, Cleveland and Boston both being out, both of them, Indiana, New York. I mean, that's the beauty of sports, man. There's two fan bases sitting there going, we can win the whole damn thing. Oklahoma City's certainly the favorite, but Anthony Edwards' time is now. Two straight Western Conference finals for Minnesota. They never went to one with Kevin Garnett. They've been to two in a row. Let's go to things I love. When you go to your daughter's high school graduation, I don't think you expect to see a commencement speaker that literally every university in America would like to have. And it was a secret until these doors opened from behind. I think we were at the Mount Perrin Church where they had this, the Pace Academy graduation. And there is Andrew Young, one of the most famous living historical figures in the United States of America. And nobody knew. They always try to make it a surprise. Nobody knew he'd be coming. And you'd be treated to a 93-year-old man doing this.
But you don't know what you got until you go back and check it out. So find out all you can right now about your ancestry. Why do you look like you look? Why do you have the talents that you have? Why do you run fast? Why is it that you can catch a ball? Or why is it that, well, I was telling my granddaughter just before we came here that her grandmama could shoot the most awkward basketball shot I've ever seen. The only thing is, it always went in. And she doesn't know where she got her abilities, but way back there somewhere, everything that you are today and all that you've got to work with for the future, you've already been gifted with it.
He sounds great.
He was awesome.
Wow, 93.
He
good
just,
for you.
He didn't have a note in front of him, whether he memorized
it. Right.
Whether he memorized it. He's in his wheelchair wheeling around the stage. And it was powerful.
How long did he
talk? Probably 15 minutes.
Fantastic.
It was incredible.
And you had no idea it was him.
You don't know. They try to surprise folks with, you know, getting a huge guest to come through there. So an unbelievable treat there. Now, what's not a treat right now is the Atlanta United. I thought we had this great offseason, and I thought things were going to be kind of back to the old days at Mercedes-Benz. As of Saturday, we have now not won a game in how many?
Eight matches.
Eight?
Eight matches. You get shut out 1-0 to Philadelphia Saturday.
Not the way you want to treat your fans, man. Mike Conti will have more on that this week, but we are learning that it has been a tough run of late. We also learned that there is a legit superstar horse. That horse's name is Journalism.
Listen. On the far outside, Journalism is still running on. He's back into second. He might even win it. Here's the wire. Oh, my goodness. Journalism has won the Preakness.
No decision of yet today whether Journalism run in the Belmont, but a second in the Derby, a first at the Preakness, a superstar horse for sure, which is exactly what the sport needs.
Yeah. And it's just a bonus that that's his name.
You know that. What else do we learn over the weekend? I will mention this quickly. I mentioned that burger place I went to last week, Jay Butter Jones.
Yep.
I've never had anything happen on the internet. I don't know what. It's so weird because I can do 20 food reviews and get like 100, 500 shares of that. 5,000 shares of this one place. They ran out of food Saturday. They ran out of food Sunday. It like took off of, I don't even know. I got it some algorithm on the internet.
When did Pookie and Jet repost it? That's likely what happened.
Well, Pookie and Jet reposted, I think it was Saturday, late in the day. No, yesterday posted. It already happened.
Oh, okay.
No, it already happened. Now it's just that much bigger. Anyway, you never know where you're going to get
it. Where is that place exactly?
It's La Vista and Briarcliff. I talked to the chef, the owners. They had to stop serving at one point because they ran out of food altogether.
Oh, my gosh.
So
good for you guys.
Follow
That's
me
great.
At Steak Shapiro. You never know what sandwich is going to break the internet. Next and finally, big moment at Cannes, Tom Cruise premiering The Final Reckoning, which is the movie coming out, I guess, for Memorial Day weekend,
yep,
right?
That's right. Some theaters have it on Thursday.
It's already got 85% on Rotten Tomato. He gets a five-minute standing ovation. Can we save the movies? Can we bring everybody back? We had Sinners, right?
Sinners, yeah, but this is nothing. They're comparing this to Maverick when everybody went back to the theaters after COVID, that Tom Cruise is going to save the theaters again.
Again.
Like, this is going to blow it up.
Yeah.
And it is what it is. Like, Mission Impossible is just a great outing, right? All of them. The stunts,
stunts,
the whole
that
thing.
He does are
got a
incredible.
Real sexy cast.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll go see it for
that,
sure.
That's Things I Love. Three strikes, a couple of other big game of the night. Sports Radio 929. It's Sports Radio 92.9.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Game Sandy in for Drew Butler today. He'll be here Wednesday. Those are the rumors. We will try to confirm them coming up. But yes, he's indeed going to be here. Three strikes coming up in just a second. Also, our big game of the night. But
our 10 o'clock hour brought to you by WiseGuysProWash.com. If you need some pressure washing, they're the best, they're the baddest, they're the biggest. Mention Sandra, get $70
off. Got no NBA games at all.
Mm-hmm. You got no NHL games at all.
Knicks are going to have almost a week off.
Yeah, because it starts tomorrow with the Western Conference. You see that? So Tuesday's the Western Conference.
Yeah, no, I see it. I'm looking at the same thing you are. Like, what? I'm just curious about the Knicks series. Knicks are favored by 165, meaning you got about $165 to win $100. The Thunder are favored by 370.
Mm.
You get back almost 3-1 odds if you want to bet on Anthony Edwards and Rudy Gobert and Julius Randle. I don't know, man. Timberwolves are pretty legit to get back three times your money on that. I want to bet the Pacers. Knicks only 165. I kind of think the Knicks are headed to the NBA Finals.
I hope you're wrong.
I kind of think it's going to be Knicks in Oklahoma City. Hmm. Minus 165. I don't know. Just telling you. Game one, by the way, will be tomorrow. Timberwolves, a 7.5-point underdog at OKC after that blowout. And the Knicks will be a 4.5-point favorite over the Pacers at Madison Square Garden. So you can see all the stars on display there as well. Braves don't get going till tomorrow, right? They're off?
Yes, they are. TBA pitcher, which, as Mark Bowman calls him, the badass, it will be Spencer Strider tomorrow night.
Which means you won't see him in the Padres series, right?
Well, no.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Oh, yeah, you will.
You will. Mm-hmm.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday,
when
Saturday.
When we think of Acuna, he'll be Sunday. Back on Friday, you guys. So.
Yeah. So.
So your game of the night, only just because there's nothing really else, but the Mets are at the Red Sox tonight. Brought to you by John Foy. If you want to watch that, or The Voice final is tonight.
Oh, is that live?
Really good.
Kimberly will be all,
yes,
will be all over
voice.
That.
Mm-hmm.
So, Padres, then an off day, and then you're at the Phillies. So if you want to pitch Spencer Strider on 4 days rest, assuming he goes tomorrow, then your Sunday 4-10 game against the Padres. You know that next Sunday?
Yeah, I saw that. Mm-hmm.
It's a 4-10 game. Mm-hmm. So you'll have 1-2, you'll have 4 days off. I don't know. He may go against the Phillies on the road and get a full almost week off. You think you give him a week or you think you get him on a 4 days? Because if you don't pitch him on Sunday, you don't play on Monday, he's pitching tomorrow and then he's pitching next Tuesday against the Phillies. So if he pitches tomorrow, then
five,
he'll go
five, four, so
4 days rest.
Yeah. Oh.
Five-man rotation, which, you know, you don't want to go to six because, as Snickers said, mm-hmm. you're giving guys way too much time off, so you have to figure that one out as well.
Can we just get him out there for one and have his leg not fall off? Everybody calm down.
Who is
one
your,
day at a time.
Who is your ultimate movie star? Who is your ultimate movie star, if I say? Who's the ultimate movie star? The Braves player you trust more than any other over the years. right now or all time, the Braves player that you trust. We talked about how the Braves have built a history of building trust with their fans, or at least over the last, oh gosh, multiple decades.
So that's in the history of the Atlanta Braves.
It's just don't get so caught up in semantics. The question is the Braves player you trust the most. You've trusted the most, okay? All the time. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, Hank Aaron, I guess, could say, but that's not really what I'm thinking.
Well, that's why I'm axing.
The Braves player you trust or trusted more than any other. How about that?
Okay.
The Braves player you trust or trusted more than any other. And easiest team to root against. The easiest team to root against. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Couple of other little notes. What night is Caitlin Clark rolling through here?
Thursday night. The Dream is at Indiana tomorrow night, and then 2 days later, they're here at State Farm. So if you want to go out, that's a pretty cool night.
Did you watch the hard foul on Angel Reese?
I saw the highlights. I wasn't watching it. Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't watching it either, but I did see the highlight. What did you think of the foul? You think it should have been a flagrant? They called it. That gave technicals.
I don't think it should have been a flagrant. There, I said it.
Okay.
Let him play.
Okay.
Listen, Kaylin's not backing down to nobody, and neither is Angel. Like, the best thing you can do is let this all play out.
Yeah, no, I thought it was a good call. Yeah. That was a good flagrant call, but I thought everything about it was just the way it should be, a big rivalry. Obviously, they're trying to get Indiana in a position where they can make a run at a title. And then all the stuff that surrounds it afterwards – that's the unfortunate part, the cesspool that is the internet, the racial lines and the divide and the pettiness on both sides of those, you know, fan bases. And did somebody from Indiana in the crowd do something that, you know, they had to apologize for? Or they'd say apologize. WNBA and Indiana both saying we're looking into reported incidents. We have no tolerance for that whatsoever. So anyways, listen. We never talked about the WNBA ever, and those two young ladies helped that happen.
All I know, it's a good day to be a basketball fan in Indiana because you got the Fever and you got the Pacers.
And that's
a
place.
It is a hot ticket.
That's a place where basketball matters a lot. We're going to have Mike Woodson in live coming up sooner rather than later. Good. He's the former coach of IU, friend of the show, been chatting with him lately. He coached the Hawks for quite some time. I had to deal with Josh Smith and company. He's been around a lot. I think it'd be a great in-studio interview to hear from Mike Woodson. He knows what basketball means. I mean, it wasn't pretty at the end there in Indiana what Mike Woodson had to deal with. The Hoosiers take their basketball very seriously, and the Pacers are a very big deal to be where they're sitting in the Eastern Finals. And then, of course, all the excitement around the New York Knicks that 25 years since they've been in the Eastern Finals as well. Hawks have two number one picks. A lot more conversation on that as we try to get into. And tomorrow, I think you're going to enjoy the Falcon conversation that we are having. Now, when I say the Braves deserve all that trust, they did go 14 straight years with a division title and won one, which is almost impossible when you were one of the best teams every single year. But when I say trust, I'm talking about that you have a team that you believe can win the title every single year.
You're in the mix.
Yeah,
always.
You have a team that can win the title every single year. I think they're just one of those organizations that has built that trust. I think when you think of the NFL, I think the 49ers are an organization you feel like, you know, that they're in the mix. The Steelers used to be like that for years. The Ravens are like that now.
The Rams.
Yeah, the Rams under Sean McVay. Mm-hmm. Obviously, New England, based on the fact that all this money is pouring into the Patriots, people feel like they can change things quick. I don't know about that, but certainly they earned your trust when the right guys were at the helm. And we both agree, by the way, we both agree where we thought there'd be some great moment. Bill Belichick and Michael Strahan was the most boring, awful interview.
First of all, they did it live. I thought it was going to be this fancy sit-down where they could edit. Nope, they did it live on the set. It lasted 6 minutes.
Why do you let Belichick go there and pimp out his book for the entire 90%?
Because we all tuned in.
No, that's fine.
You know, they started teasing that thing Monday. His book now is on the New York Times bestseller. All right, good for you guys.
But why are you so soft in asking? Why not saying, do you think she's been a distraction? Or why not saying, Is it fair to say that she has ruffled some
feathers? Well, he said it not once but twice, and I'm talking about Michael Strahan. I know we're not supposed to ask you about your personal life.
What do you mean?
So that means that they said to him, we're not allowed, you know.
No, no, they did not say to him, you can't ask about it. There's no way.
They said, we're not supposed to. He's Michael
Meaning
Strahan.
He's trying to say, I know you don't like, I don't know, the semantics, Matt. He said, there's no way he had any restrictions. There's absolutely no way that he sat there.
I disagree. I disagree with you.
ABC News would never be in his position where Bill Belichick could sit on set.
I know. It wasn't David Muir. It wasn't Meet the Press. It was Good Morning America, where they're now about to sell you socks where you buy one, get one.
He said,
and they sit
I know
down
you
Belichick
don't like me to
it.
Ask. You don't, of course they knew he was going to ask. My problem is he barely asked. I mean, that wasn't even asking.
I walked away from there saying they told him not to ask.
Well, no. There's no, listen, you were right last
week. We can agree to disagree. I'm telling you.
Why would, they're a news organization. I mean, I don't care what it is. Michael Strahan has news interviews. You think they're going to agree and all they're going to do is ask about his book? My point is, they asked me.
My question is, why isn't he on SportsCenter doing it?
Why is
that? That's ABC. That's Disney. He went on Good Morning America for a reason.
Yeah, because he knows Strahan. They're buddies. That's why. And he knew Strahan would be soft. And Strahan was soft. Strahan was awful with him. But they didn't have any restrictions. He's just like, I know you don't let me ask about your personal life. No, I'm not going to talk about that. He goes, you seem happy. What? Yeah. That's it? God, that was awful, regardless of what the restrictions were or not. Let's get three strikes. All right, we have extra phone lines, and we have three good questions, so you are going to call us. Who is your ultimate movie star? We want to hear from you. The Braves player you trust or trusted more than any other. Call us. Easiest team to root against. 404-726-0929. Breakfast Barry in the car. How you doing, buddy?
Congratulations on the graduation, first and foremost.
Thank you, sir.
So actor. I'm going to go actress first. Jane Seymour from Live and Let Die. When I was a little kid, my dad took me, and I thought she was the most unbelievable thing I'd ever seen. But I do love Liam Neeson as an actor. So.
I love him.
The
yeah.
Braves player you trust or have trusted the most over the years?
Oh, you kidding me? Greg Maddux. Calling his own pitches by the way he catches the ball. Are you kidding me? Unbelievable story.
Easiest team to root against?
Now that's easy, too. The New York Mets. Who hates the Mets? Who likes the Mets? You kidding me? No, thank you.
Hey, Brad in Villarica. Brad, who is the ultimate movie star?
Kurt Russell. I love that movie, Overboard.
The Braves player you trust or trusted the most?
Oh, that's funny.
I'm going to say Andrew Jones, sir.
Easiest team to root against?
Oh, of course. That's simple. I'm going to say the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. Go Dawgs.
Wow. All right. I guess keep
I mean, Overboard. That was randomly
Goldie
great.
Hawn and Kurt Russell?
I thought he was going to say Miracle for sure, and then he's like, Overboard. That was funny.
A lot of options for Kurt Russell. Didn't see that one coming.
Who do you think of pops in your head movie star?
Pacino, Julia Roberts.
Yeah, good. Mm-hmm.
De Niro, Hoffman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Tom Cruise, certainly. Julia Roberts had a hell of a run, though, when she just exploded on the screen in terms of the way she
looks. She was the it girl,
Hey, Tinker and Kennesaw, who's your ultimate movie star?
My ultimate movie star is Bruce McGill.
The Braves player you trusted the most?
John Smoltz. I always loved it when he did a home run, put one up in the seats every once in a while.
Every or easiest team to root against?
It's because I got a bunch of buddies that are fans, so this one's easy for me. Anything Boston.
Now, you stop that. You stop it. Cut it out. Thanks for the call.
That's great.
The Sox. Sox got it handed to them this weekend, I'll tell you, by the break.
How do you like them apps?
You know it. Back tomorrow. Thank you, Bo. Thank you, Caleb. And we'll see you. Bye.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.